Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything in this center relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. We have a very, very special topic today, and actually an outstanding guest. See, a lot of you that are listeners are talking about dating. You're like, okay, you know what? We're almost at the end here in December. We got cuffing season. Now we're in 2006. You're looking for a relationship. Incidentally, there was this press release called The Top Dating Trends for 2026. Andrea McGinty is considered the godmother of dating. She brings 35 years worth of experience, 10,000 plus marriages. She pioneers the status for a company called Just Lunch. She built over 110 locations, sold it to private equity. She now runs this firm called 33,000 Dates, guiding successful clients age 45 to 65 through the second act of their love stories. Andrea, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. I think this is so timely.
Thanks, Steve. It is, because I feel like 2025 blew by and here we are in 2026. And there's been some differences in dating and what people have been thinking about, you know, just in the last year. So I'm excited for 2026.
You know what? I'm happily married for 28 years, so I'm good with that. But I've got some kids. They want to understand that. But one of the things I'd like you to talk about is you recently released a book called Second Act. Could you tell us what that's all about?
Sure. Okay. This is my baby. Okay. Second Act's winning strategies for dating over 50. Now, the reception of the book has been really good. It just came out this year. And there's 20 and 30 somethings reading it too. But here's what I like about the book. I mean, I kind of spilled my brains into this. It's not like I'm an author and write lots of books. But this book, I really wanted to get out some messaging about dating and cover the whole gamut, you know, from online dating to, you know, the high-end matchmakers, you know, just cover everything possible that you could do. And there's 166 strategies. What I really like, or what it seems like the readers like in some book groups have told me, is there's 14 worksheets in it. So you get to fill out everything from, am I ready to date? And it really makes you think, because by the time you end this one worksheet, you're like, yes, I think I am. Or, oop, no, I think I better wait a few months based on what I just wrote down. And then it closes with the last worksheet that some people are like, what? I have to write this? And it's a business plan for your personal life. And so what it is really, it's a strategy. So you've got to be strategic when you're dating. And I walk you through it all, you know, through 14 of those. And then as you go through the chapters, you can also scan QR codes where I give you like a little 5-minute tease of coaching on it too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, folks, you're going to now have the opportunity to get one of Andrea's books, Second Act. All you need to do to get that book, email in viewer@savingwithsteve.us. Again, that's viewer@savingwithsteve.us. In the subject line, write Second Act. And then in the body of the email, just put your address. First 100 people that email in to viewer@savingwithsteve.us, you're going to get a copy of the book mailed to your house. I know you're going to love it. I've already given out the book to a number of people, and they've already read it. I mean, I can't believe how fast people read this. It's just wild. Because, you know, when it says, hey, read it today, date tomorrow, I mean, it's true. And some people have actually, you know, taken a couple of days to read it, but they're like, oh my God, this is night and day, because they've never really had a strategy to dating. They never really understood, which made it kind of a mess. So it's very, very cool. So folks, hey, if you're interested, go to viewer@savingwithsteve.us, Second Act in the subject line, and just put your address there and we'll send you the book. So let's get started with talking about a little of the dating trends that are going to be happening in 2026. So if you could share some of those with us, Andrea, that'd be wonderful.
I'd love to. So the dating trends, each year they change a little bit. They evolve maybe over a year or two. One of the big trends is with the 45 to 65 year old crowd. And okay, anyone who's 45, maybe you're not gray. I call it gray dating. But there's a big movement between the 45 to 65 year old crowd to online dating. And there's been a 23% jump already in people using it. And one out of three marriages, we just have tracking for 2023 and 2024, have taken place with that demographic, with, you know, the 45 to 65 year old crowd dating online. But I think one of the important things too is you're going to be dating online, but you have to know what you're doing too. You've got to have a strategy. And, you know, Steve, you're really generous sending this book out. So there's more trends I can absolutely talk about. But, you know, you being out there, this age group. Now, there is a little difference because I do break the age group in half a little bit. So I go 45 to 55. And that's kind of my rough estimate based on, you know, me constantly working with clients. But that age group tends to get remarried. Or married, if you haven't been married before. So they tend to get remarried. Now, on the other hand, the 55 to 65 plus crowd, the trend there is it's really split three ways. Some want marriage, some want to live together, and some just want a long-term monogamous relationship. So the trend there really is more away from marriage and more to that long-term or that monogamous relationship without that paper, you know, and I think what that does, you know, to talk about money on the show, it keeps kind of your things separate. And especially if you have children and, you know, you've got everything worked out with, you know, money and beneficiaries and all of that, you're not mixing funds and you're still going to have, you know, hopefully a great marriage or a great relationship. It doesn't really matter. So that is a big trend with the gray dating crowd.
Now, one of the things I was thinking is when people are just getting started, you talk about what is my strategy? The big question is, how do I create a strategy for dating? Because back in the day, it was meet people at bars, meet people at work, church, things like that. But it's a little bit different now because you don't really go to the bars when you're 45, 55, or maybe you do. I don't know. But so what's the first strategy somebody should be thinking about?
That is actually one of the 2026 trends that's going on. And that's called intelligent dating. Because when you go online and begin dating, and that's the biggest pool in the world. I mean, it's just amazing from, you know, when I first started out in this business where there was like no Google and no online dating. And now it doesn't matter where you live. There are so many people, you know, right at these fingertips. So intelligent dating, 1,400 dating sites and dating apps out there. How do you know which one to pick? That is a huge question, because if you pick the wrong one, and I usually encourage people to go on to sites or apps, you pick the wrong one or two, you are going to be so discouraged so fast. So this is the trend toward intelligent dating. So this is doing your homework. This goes back to, you know, kind of the final worksheet of my book too, about having a strategy. Intelligent dating also includes people are using, especially the 45 to 65 year old age group. They are using people to help them, whether, you know, it's somebody like me who's a dating coach or somebody who's a matchmaker, but somebody who has the resources to say, okay, you live in Palm Beach, Florida, or you live in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be very different, the sites that are going to be good for you. And you want to talk to somebody who knows what they're doing and the things you really want to be looking for on the sites, which you don't really have the access to as, you know, just somebody signing up. But we do, you know, as the experts with the intelligent dating is, okay, what's the ratio of men to women? What's the ratio of women to men? You don't want to be on a site that's, if you're a man, you don't want to be on a site that's 75% men and 25% women, right? So yeah. you're gonna get bummed out so fast. So you've got to start out on the right site. I mean, that just makes sense. And the intelligent dating, you know, using a coach, using a matchmaker, I so much encourage that, even if it's just a couple sessions, or, you know, you need handholding and you want somebody longer. Great. The thing is, they'll help you dramatically. And, you know, I mean, what's the rage in the U.S.? You know, if we're talking about sports trends, pickleball. OK, pickleball. I'm sure you didn't go out for the first time to play like competitive pickleball or with four people and never done it before, right? You probably took a clinic, or that's the smart way to do it anyway, to avoid getting hurt too with that net. So you probably took a couple clinics. Same thing, you know, when we started golfing, we took golf lessons. We didn't just go out on the, you know, course, you know, dry. We went to the driving range. We had a pro. We had them, you know, instruct us on the short game, the long game. And so be intelligent about your dating so that, you know, you have success. Because in this lifetime, another trend is we're living longer. You know, this is not our parents' generation where, you know, I'm 65. You know, I'm just going to focus on, or 70. I'm just going to focus on the grandkids, you know. My you know, love life's over. Not anymore. When people are hitting, you know, if you're hitting 60, what the actuarial tables will tell you, you have a very good chance you're going to live to mid 80s, even 90s. So it's like a third of your life left. So let's go. Let's find that person to travel with. Let's find that person to go to the movies with. Let's find that person to bring to parties. So that's a big trend, you know, intelligent dating for people, you know, over 45.
You know, it was really interesting you say that, because I was just talking to my mom last night, and where I was asking about relatives and stuff like that. And she has a niece who's 83 years old, and she just moved in with somebody because they wanted the companionship. And I was just like, well, there's that is. So that's wonderful. Hey, look, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with the godmother of dating, Angie McGinty.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything on the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. Again, I want to thank you for joining us here today. If you're enjoying the information here on Saving with Steve, check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, AM/FM 247. We've been adding more and more syndicators. We're getting more and more expanding here. And I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family. But I really want to get back to talking about dating with Andrea. Andrea, one of the big things that people are concerned about, and we hear it because I do things about scams and things like that, and one is romance scams. So you know what? You have online dating. You've heard about this before. Let's just talk about it right now. What's one of the things, part of people are scared of online dating because of that, because of the stories they hear, which is scary. So could you help people? Hey, here's the steps you need to take. This is what you need to think about when you're dealing with this.
Yes, this is a hump to get over, about the scams, the fraud, the fake profile, the the ghosting, all of that stuff. Now, if we were looking at the, you know, maybe you have kids in the 20s and 30s, they don't care. So they just hop on. They're fine with this. But there's been enormous change since online dating. You know, Match.com was the first one, to come on board in the late 90s. And by 2005, online dating was a mess, just an absolute mess. You know, there are all these new dating sites popping up and no regulation. Oh, and I don't mean government regulation, but regulation by the sites themselves. You know, are these people real or not? Now that has really taken a good turn. And I would say since 2015, 2018, that's not a major worry anymore on the major sites. And I'm going to break that down for everybody. There's the major sites, and then there's these micro sites. So you want to be on a major site where there is verification going on, and everyone is doing it these days, whether it's Our Time or Bumble or Elite Singles or any of these dating sites. they're making sure they're matching up photos with the person. They're taking some identity and making sure the person is who they say they are. And some even have built-in location services on there. So the person you're talking to, you know, hey, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. He's really in Cleveland, Ohio, too. You know, he's not
in the Philippines.
So they have gotten so much better at that and screening. So it's very rare that I have a client, you know, even bring up any more fraud as I'm coaching them or, you know, fake profiles. Now, on the other hand, okay, if you're going on these micro sites would be sites like, oh, I love to meditate, or I love yoga, or I love backgammon. There's sites like that, you know, are just like backgammon lovers date, you know, .com, or I just made that up. There are sites like these micro sites. What's going to happen there? Okay. There's no regulation by whoever owns that site. And it's going to be very sparse in terms of numbers too. So yes, on those type of sites, you are going to get, you know, fraud or weird people, or, you know, people that aren't who they say they are. So don't pick one like that, because you can go on the top 25, 50 dating sites out there. And this is really easy to do. You know, hey, my group of clients, I mean, my younger ones are absolutely using AI, but my older ones, just go online and Google top 100 dating sites, and they're going to give it to you, and they're going to give you some numbers. I can give you better numbers. Somebody in the business can give you better numbers. Their numbers are pretty true. So go on look at the major websites, and then dating apps and dating platforms and dating sites. And you're not going to run into that. So I think a lot of that fear, you know, that goes back to 2005, and there was that Nigerian prince that was like sending all these, you know, letters to 70 and 80 year old women, you know, help me, or send me money after they've made contact for a while. That's not happening anymore. Number one, we're a lot more savvy. And number two, it's reported so fast on a site that those people are gone. So use the big sites, because the big sites also are going to have the most people too. So let's go back to, you know, you love backgammon or you love yoga. That's something you can put in, or you love golf, or there's a certain sport. That's something you can put into your filters on the big sites too, and still get these people. So don't go on those micro sites.
Okay. So the big thing is to stay off the micro sites, because that's where the problems are, and you can create large filters or filter. So if you're a pickleball lover, you can put pickleball, though I don't know how big of that filter is, because how big pickleball is nowadays. Okay. So now that we're got past, hey, you know, take that, protect yourself, stay off the microsites, but the larger sites, you can Google those. That's great. So one of the big things is this: when you start creating a profile for yourself, I know this is part of a strategy, but how does one do that? Because you know what, in advance of this, we were just for kicks and giggles checking out a few of these from one of my friends. And I was looking at some of the pictures going, okay, all right. You know, that seemed a little weird, or it seemed very, how to put it, look like a glamour photo.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the number one asset you have online by far is your photos, and you want to have 5 or 6 photos. And as an aside, since you have such a big listenership, viewership, I want to get this out there. Men, no more pictures in your cars, selfies in the bathrooms, or holding a fish. Get rid of those pictures. And we don't want to see your high school picture. We do not want, we don't care. So, okay, let's go back to the photos. Photos are super important. And you want to have 5 to 6 photos on the site. And you want to also make sure these photos are within the last 2 years. I always tell people, caption your photos too. You know, vacation scuba diving in St. Martin, December 2025. People then know, oh, wow, this is a current shot. Okay, what kind of photos should you put up there? One, a good headshot, because most sites, that's all they'll do for your primary photo. So that one is important. Number two, a full body shot. People want to see really, you know, what you look like. And you don't want somebody showing up, you know, on a date with you that's kind of, you know, not really told you what they look like, or said they're slim and trim and, you know, work out 20 times a week, and then, you know, You obviously know the habit. Okay, so we've got those two. You want an active photo. So a photo of you doing something you love. So it could be you holding a tennis racket on a tennis court. Because a picture paints, you know, what do they say? 1,000 words, 1,000,000 words? I don't even know. But, you know, something that you really love to do, you know, you're hiking, you're rafting, you're paddleboarding. Get one of those photos up there, active. Number four, a social photo. So a social photo would be you taking a photo with maybe two or three friends or family members. And, you know, this is a time of the year, you know, with holidays and New Year's parties and, you know, just wherever you are, that can be candid, you know, a candid photo. You don't need a photographer for this stuff. Photos are the number one asset. Men are going to look at your photos before they even read your profile. So are women. So make sure you've got great photos. That's the number one area I see people that say, oh, online dating is terrible. And then I look at their photos and I say, I know why. That is exactly why we are. And so if that is why, there's a couple things you can do. We want fun photos and smile and don't have sunglasses on and don't have ski goggles on and no bathing suit shots, guys and girls, women. Nobody wants to see you in your bathing suit, really and truly. You know, wait until you start dating somebody seriously and you go on your first vacation to Maui or the Caribbean. Then, you know, they're
going to
see you in your bathing suit then.
Oh, that's fun. By the way, first 100 people, go to viewer at savingsteve.us, subject line, second act. You put your address in there. We're going to send you Andrew's book, Second Act. You're going to want to get that. You're going to want to email quickly because they're going to be gone quickly. But folks, if you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to never miss a show. Check out our YouTube channel. Check out a few affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. By the way, if you get this dating thing down, you're going to definitely uplift your life. So follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. Let's get back to it and talk to Angie McGinty. Andrea, I'm sorry, called you Andy. That's not good. We'll edit that out, by the way. But let's talk about that first date. You start talking to somebody online, and then, you know, what kind of questions would make sense to start creating a conversation with?
That's a really good question, because you've gone through the whole process, right? You've got your profile up there. You've got wonderful photos. Now you're like texting each other through the app, right? You're messaging back and forth. And we'll get to the first date in a moment, because you have to get to that first date. You can't keep messaging back and forth. So, okay, the back and forth messaging, and this is a Stanford study, and like, think about this, just really think about this. And this has been going on for, I think, 22, 23 years now. Okay, the chances of you meeting somebody in real life with online dating, This is the statistic, from the time you or he or she reaches out to you to the time of the first date actually occurs should take place no longer than 5 days later. If it's longer than that, it's not happening, folks. 90% of those date, 90% don't turn into dates, because online dating moves fast, and people that are wasting their time messaging or wasting their time on multiple phone calls even. So, okay, to answer your question, you know, easy questions. I like to think about it like this. You do a couple texts back and forth, then you exchange phone numbers and you have a quick 10-minute call with the only thing, and you even put this in your last message, you know, hey, Steve, I'm really interested. Let's hop on the phone. I'm way better on the phone than, you know, these messages. And let's chat for 10 minutes and see if we want to meet in real life. So what we've done is we've established some boundaries. This is going to be a 10-minute call. It's only to decide if we want to meet in real life, not hear each other's history. And it's going to keep it light. Okay, you get to the phone call. I want you to think you already met this person at a cocktail party, because you've read their profile. You know a lot of information about them. Or maybe they don't have a lot in their profile, but you've looked at their photos, so you've got information there, you know, what they like to do. So you want to keep the phone call, as I said, short and sweet and really friendly. If you start talking to somebody and they say anything negative, I'd get off that phone call very quickly and say, you know, nice talking to you. I've got an appointment. I wish you the best. Get off that call. But most of the time, you know, people make plans for a date. Okay, here's the next thing. Phone, logistics. I want you all to have this in your back pocket. I want you to have two places in your mind to meet. So you don't have to go back and forth texting again or another phone call, where are we going to meet? So I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're a man. You can make that suggestion right on the phone. You know, I'm definitely interested. Okay. Which works better for you? I could meet on Saturday afternoon for a late drink at like 4 o'clock. We grab a drink and an appetizer. Or I could meet you Monday afternoon, probably late afternoon, probably around 5. And I was thinking, have you tried Brioche yet? It just opened and it's kind of right in between the two of us. Or do you have a suggestion for where to meet? Boom. What have we done? We didn't say, let's get together sometime. We gave them the wish. Which works better for you? Saturday or Tuesday? Let's not go round and round. Have a place in mind, especially if you live a half an hour apart. Okay, let's get to that first date. All right. You're on your first date. Keep it to an hour. Coffee. Okay. It's okay. Coffee tends to be very casual. I don't like it as much as meeting for a drink after work. I'll tell you why. Coffee tends to be, you can be out of there in 20 minutes and you show up right after yoga in your cute Lululemon outfit. And, you know, it's kind of like, really, did you put a lot into this? And you want to put something into this. So I very much prefer either doing a lunch date, hour, you have to eat lunch anyway, or a drink, and not a dinner date, a drink. And you don't say, let's have a drink at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. No, because that scares people. Like, oh my gosh, am I stuck with this person then? Do we have to do dinner? Do we have to, you know, hang out together? All right. So we've established a 1 hour date works the best. And this woman, her name's Amy, she went out on a date and her and I were looking online. And at first she was picking like all these like really good looking men. And she's pretty smart. And I picked this guy that was kind of nerdy and he had like these nerdy glasses, but there's something about him. Anyway, that was a year ago. Amy went out with him and she called me afterwards. She goes, you know, he's really nerdy, but we had like a good conversation. And I'm like, well, so what are you thinking? She goes, I think I should give him another shot. I'm like, great, go out again. Engagement over Thanksgiving. And they're 50 and they both of them have teenagers at home. So, you know, I'm really excited for them. So chemistry, it's not like we're 18 and the hormones are going crazy, you know, 50s, 60s. We still have hormones. By the way, we still want intimacy. That's another big trend. People still, you know, want intimacy and, you know, all that stuff in their life. So, you know, give the person a second chance because you might say, wow, on the second date, I found him really cute. And that might have been a smile. That might have been a story he told. You know, it can really reverse itself. But by the second or third date, you'll know. Don't drag it past a third date, though. If you're still like, I don't know, on the third date, you know, call me up. No, I'm just kidding. If you're still you're on the third date, and you still don't know. It's a no.
Yeah.
But give him a shot.
Those are great rules. Anything negative gone. After two texts, it's not, you know, after back and forth, it's not going to happen. That's like a big aha. So, folks, stick with us. We're right back with more Andrea McGinty right here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we're talking about the ins and outs of money. Today, we're talking about 2026 dating trends. But here's a biggie. We have people that are 45, 55, 65. They have those kids that have graduated from college, got their master's. They're all involved with their degree. I mean, they worked their rear end off for 4, 5, 6 years, and now they're working their rear end off 12, 15 hours a day. And they really hadn't spent a lot of time dating over the last 5, 6, 7 years. And they're like, okay, so how do I do this? So let's talk about, you know what? All those people that have kids between 25, maybe even 30, that really haven't dated or dated very much. And Andrea, I'd really love it if you can share that with us, help people with their kids. It's wild going to a dating show and helping people with their kids.
Yes. Oh, you know what? I love this topic because I have a 25-year-old, a 23-year-old, and a 20-year-old. And so I can definitely speak to this crowd. So, okay, what's going on with these people? There's two things, and then I'm going to give you some examples. One, they still have that group mentality. You know, we're going to go out in groups. We're going to, you know, I might like this guy, I might like this girl, but we're going to go out in groups. That's not dating. That's not dating. That's not really getting you, you know, anywhere. You know, 20, 21, 22, that's kind of common, okay, to do that. But by the time you're, you know, 25, 28, even 30, you've got to be, you know, doing something. And, you know, this show is about money. Okay, let's talk about this. Now, what I'm seeing a big shift towards is online dating with this group, but with a couple of differences too. So I told you I have a couple kids. my husband's worried about our 25-year-old daughter who is about to turn 26, and she's in New York City. She's in publishing. You know, she works a lot. She has a great network of friends. She has, you know, really no dates. And he says to me like once a month, should we hire a matchmaker for her there? And you know what? Hey, parents, not a bad idea, because, you know, I would not do it for her because I'm her mom. You know, they're not going to listen to me. Okay. So you want them to do something, you know, while they're in their 20s. And what I'm telling, you know, when parents bring this up on the phone, I'll say, okay, these are the sites, you know, describe your son a little bit, you know, he's 24. Okay. These are the two sites he should be on, and make sure he pays for the site. I know this is a money thing, a money show. Make sure he pays for the site. Okay. All that stuff with Tinder that was, you know, hot stuff 10 years ago, that 20 to 30 year old crowd, you know, with the free Tinder, they are really, really drifting away. And, you know, their parent company, if you read the Wall Street Journal, has had a lot to say about that. They're losing those people. So make sure you're paying, because what does it do? You have skin in the game. It means you care. And then you're only going to be shown people who also paid. So they're interested in a relationship. They're interested in dating. So, you know, that's what, you know, I tell the kids. Now, okay, my 25-year-old daughter, she does come to me, you know, for a lot of dating advice and, you know, people that she meets online. And she goes over her profile with me, and, you know, I make sure the pictures look good. And I'll take a look at the men for her too. And I'll just kind of give her, okay, I see two red flags on him. You know, it might be he only posted two pictures, and really you should post 4 or 5 or 6. He might not say where he went to school or where he's from. Red flag, you know? Okay. So those type of things. Now, interestingly enough, even my 20-year-old, who's a junior in college in Boulder, Colorado, her and her friends are on dating sites, and they know now to pay. And here they are. What, the campus has 40,000 people. You would think it'd be a piece of cake to meet somebody, right? So you know, of course they meet people in real life. But for that age group, I would suggest that they go on either Tinder paid, Bumble paid, or Hinge paid. All three of those can be very strong sites and ways to get good connections for them. Okay, now if we're in the later part of the 20s, let's go to the 25 to maybe 32-year-old kids you have. Mm-hmm. Okay, they should definitely be, again, on a paid dating site, a good one. And the ones I just mentioned actually are still good for them too. But what they should be doing as well, meetup groups are fantastic because they'll be in your age group. You know, you don't want to go to one that's for 60-year-old people. You want, you know, like people that are 20-something, you know, a hiking club or you know, this event for 25 to 35-year-olds where we're having a guest speaker about nutrition or, you know, something that you're interested in or an interesting book club where they say we're doing an even number of men and women. You both are interested in books. This is a great way to meet people. So meeting in real life, yes, it can still happen. Of course, people, you know, it's not the meet cute Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks stuff, you know, at the grocery store. It's not walking up to somebody at Whole Foods for the most part. It's the part where you're doing an activity that you're genuinely interested in. I had a client ask me, she's 60. She said, I'm going to tell my daughter to go to the driving range like every night. I said, oh, does she golf? Is she into golf? And she said, oh, no, not at all. I'm like, that's a bad idea because she's not into it. Now, if somebody was like into it, that's a great idea for that person, you know, to be at the driving range because there are more men than women. Okay, you guys, okay, you have sons out there, you know, in that 25 to 35-year-old age group. You know where some great women are? Guys, yoga classes. Let me tell you, you don't have to be good at yoga. Anyone could go to yoga. And I love yoga. I'm always the oldest person in my yoga class. They're all 25 to 35. And I always count how many men are in my yoga class. And so that 25 to 35-year-old crowd, you know, it's cute women, pretty women, you know, nice looking women. There's generally like 3, 4, 5 men in the class. I'm thinking, oh, wow. You know, I kind of want to walk up to the guys and say, okay, so who do you like? You know, can I introduce you? Of course I don't because I've already embarrassed my kids in public enough. So yeah, you know, I mean, those are good places to meet people. If you like sports and you have a team that you really like, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, a Saturday afternoon going to maybe it's an LSU bar and you went to LSU and you want to watch the game and you're a girl, you're a female, and you're 28, going there. And I'm not talking about getting drunk. I'm talking about like, you want to watch the game there. You're going to find other men and there's bars designated in every city for like Ohio State, LSU, Michigan, Stanford. You would not believe it. So these are not like a bunch of, you know, weird old drunken guys falling off bar stools. So that can be another, you know, another way to meet people in real life. But, you know, again, I still go back to the internet because the pool of people, it's mind blowing. It's just mind blowing, but pay for it. So you're getting quality men and women.
So in other words, don't cheap out.
Yep. Don't cheap out. Right.
So we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. I was curious if you could talk about, you know, matchmakers, coaches, what you do, how does that work? What's the questions to ask? Those type of things.
Sure. Okay. Okay. So, okay. You should probably go to my YouTube video, how to pick a dating coach or a matchmaker. I give you 10 points about it on my YouTube channel, which is at 33,000dates.com, like 3300dates.com. Okay. I talk very much about that. And you want to be really specific when you're, you want to talk to this person on the phone. So dating coaches. Now, I was a matchmaker for the first 25 years of my life. And then the last 10, I've been doing coaching. So you want to ask the questions like, okay, so how does this work? How many dates am I going to get? Am I able to say no to a date? How much does it cost? And if they ask you anything like, what's your income? I would just say, oh, I've got to go buy. Because you know what they're going to do? They're basing their price off your income. And we don't want that. We want total transparency. So, okay, a dating coach is fantastic for people in their second acts who they're divorced or widowed and they just don't know how to get started. Fantastic. Now, dating coaches are going to be a much more reasonable cost than a matchmaker. There's some really good matchmakers out there, though, and there's like four or five that I refer to in the US too. So you can always book a 15-minute free call with me. And if you want to talk about matchmakers, you know, I can tell you where to go. Matchmakers will cost substantially more. So they generally start at about $10,000. And that's generally for like 6 months and a certain number of dates. If you've got a good matchmaker, oh my gosh, your life is so easy. Your parents are, you know, your parents are going to be so happy. You're going to be, yeah. Or if it's for you, you know, and you're a 55 or 70 year old man, you're going to be so happy that this matchmaker is doing all the work for you. So, but you want to ask them questions like, what's your success rate? What exactly am I getting? And listen to them and listen to their voice. Like, are they really listening to you? And do they sound fun? Do they sound like they're an expert at what they're doing? Ask them how long they've been doing this too. So you want that information. Why do I say fun? Because you're going to be talking to a matchmaker on a regular basis, and you should go into it excited. You're always going to go in with a little bit of angst or, you know, anxiety, but you should be more excited. And one of their jobs really is, you know, to keep your expectations in line and make this fun for you too, and take all the work out of it. Just like as a dating coach, you know, I'm taking the work out of people choosing online, you know, the right site or the right people to date, because I can go through profiles in 20 seconds and be like, nope, 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 yes, yes, nope, yes, you know, because I've got the experience doing this, and then, you know, teaching people how to do that on their own. So that's really what you've got out there in the marketplace right now. It's the dating coaches, it's the matchmakers, and then in the middle, there are a couple of dating services, and you're also going to have your local people. So if you've got like a local person, like dating in St. Louis, they're going to be matching you up from their group of people, their database that they already have. So make sure you know how many members they have, and make sure you know the ratio between the men and the women too, because they tend to not have enough people for the most part. So you know, it's either you're going to go the online route, or you're going to go, you know, to the matchmaking route. And then of course, both people, the dating coach and the matchmaker, are going to give you other things to do that you can do in real life that are fun too, besides just, you know, their area of expertise, because they're going to have suggestions too.
So the big thing is make sure somebody's going to be direct with you and you're not getting a lot of fluff, and you understand what's going to happen, and also make it fun, because everybody's a little anxious about the whole dating world.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are, especially, you know, somebody who, you know, Steve, you've been married for 28 years, and I know you're happily married, but, you know, for somebody else who's, you know, been married 30 years and suddenly divorced and never thought they were going to do this again, never, ever in a million years, you know, their kids know all about online dating. Their kids know about dating. They don't know. They don't know where to begin. And then they'll listen to, you know, their best friend, and what worked for their best friend won't necessarily work for them. So you're better off going with an expert, I think.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Hey, folks, remember, go to viewer@savingwithsteve.us. We're giving away 100 of the second act books that Andrea's published. Just put second act in the subject line. Make sure you put your address. We'll mail it out to you. You'll have it immediately. You read it one day, start dating the next. It's wonderful. Andrea, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a lot of fun and eye-opening. There's so many ahas just from the emails I've been getting, like, oh, you know, somebody got an aha there. And the reality check on online dating, that first couple texts back and forth makes a big difference in the world, because a lot of people keep panning after others and it's never going to happen, and they should know that. So that was wonderful. If you would like to get a hold of Andrea McGinty's second act book, you just want to go to viewer@savingwithsteve.us. Put second at in the subject line. Just put your address there and we'll mail the book out to you. Thank you again for joining us, sharing us with your friends and family. Giving out those books is the least we can do. I want to thank you all. I know this is showing on Facebook on December 23rd. So you know what? Have a merry, happy Christmas, and or a merry, very merry Christmas. I know it's going to be like that for me and my family, and I'll look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.